we continue our study of the book of Nehemiah, please open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 12. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 12. This is God's holy and inerrant word. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. Father, I pray as we look at this passage, you would impress it upon our hearts, the joy of the Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Joseph Son, for those of you taking notes, T-S-O-N, was a Romanian pastor who suffered greatly under communist persecution. He tells the story of the day the authorities came to his house to take away all his books. You can imagine a preacher having his entire library confiscated. Ouch. They made Pastor Son sit at a desk and write his name in each book that belonged to him, and they took a picture every time he wrote his name in a book. He, of course, was going into great despair and hopelessness. He then took a book down to sign that had this title, "Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory." The book had a subtitle, "Is This Your Experience Right Now?" Sitting at his desk, Son was struck, and all of a sudden he was flooded with great joy of the Holy Spirit, even in the midst of the communists stealing his personal library. Puritan Thomas Watson once said that two of the most difficult things in preaching are to make the wicked sad and to make the godly joyful. Let me say that again. Striking, isn't it? Two of the most difficult things in preaching are to make the wicked sad and to make the godly joyful. The text we are considering this morning has to do with turning our mourning into joy and having gladness in place of sorrow. Or as Jesus told his disciples, "You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." Let's turn to our passage and attempt to mine the riches of it. Let's begin by looking at verse 9. "And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, 'This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep.' For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law." Now you remember the context from last week. Remember what has just happened. The assembly of Israel in this huge plaza in Jerusalem They've just heard Ezra read the Word of God for 5 to 6 hours, and the Levites had gone through the crowd and explained the meaning of the Word of God to the people. Wasn't that a most amazing scene that we talked about last week? Now we read here, however, what their response is to hearing the Word of God read to them. Conviction and grief. Conviction and sorrow. Now, that's not all that bad. We need to understand that. One purpose of the law, one purpose of the Bible, is to show people their sin, show them their misery, show them their black heart, show them who they truly are. In a world that tells us we're basically good, the Bible is telling us something different. It teaches that people have offended God, that they are guilty before God. The law, the Bible, simply shows us that we are sinners. We have to understand, as that's being read to them out there in that plaza, those thousands of people hearing the word of the law, word of the Bible read, their hearts are tender, and they weep, and they grieve over their sin, and they're repentant because of what they hear. This is all good. But note, Nehemiah, Ezra, and the Levites, those who are the ministers over Israel, they do not allow the people to wallow in their grief. No, indeed. Remember what we talked about last week. This is the Feast of Trumpets. This is a day that's holy, and this is a day to rejoice, not a day to wallow in our sin. It is not a day to afflict their souls, but it's a feast of celebration, a day of joy and praise. Do we understand this? Do we as Christians understand that weeping for our sin is not the final message that God has for us? That is one of the messages of the Bible, but it's not the final message. Yes, we should grieve for our sin. Yes, we should be come under conviction for our sin. Yes, we should be repentant of our sin. But we need to be joyful that God has forgiven us in Jesus Christ. The Anglican minister Ian Barclay, when he was first converted, thought it astonishing that Christians were to be joyous. He looked around at his congregation every Sunday, and he was surprised that one was to be joyous. He said this, "I can still remember my surprise when I first noticed the third line of the hymn, 'All people that on earth do dwell.'" We sing that hymn a lot. He said this, "In my hymn book, the words quite clearly said, 'Him serve with mirth.'" He said, "My surprise was so great that I did not sing the rest of the hymn, but just stood there looking at the words." Christians are to be joyful? Really? My goodness. What a novel thought. What a novel idea. But indeed, how true. Let's continue. Look at verse 10. "Then he," speaking of Nehemiah, "said to the people, 'Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.'" Nehemiah tells the people, there in the plaza, there in the square, the tens of thousands of people there, to go home and have a feast. They are to eat the fat. Now, what's meant by that is not what we normally think. You know, you get a steak, you get fat on it, you cut it off and throw it away. That's not what's meant here. The fat, to the Hebrew, is the filet mignon, or filet mignon, depending on your caste. The filet mignon, the very rich part of the meat. Nehemiah says, go home and eat that. And they are to drink, it says literally, from the sweet things. Not from the bitter wine, not from the new wine, but from the well-aged sweet wine. Eat of the best and drink of the best. For this day is a celebration to the Lord, a banquet day before the Lord. We also see there, don't we? It's also a day of generosity. The people are to share their food with those who have none. As Matthew Henry said, God's bounty should make us bountiful. God's bounty should make us bountiful. They are to rejoice together as a community, and especially with those people who have nothing. We are to bring them into our joy and rejoice together as the people of God. What a wonderful picture we have here. And then did you see this? And then comes what I think is the most powerful line of the section. The people are not to mourn and they're not to grieve because Nehemiah says the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy that we have in the Lord Jesus is our strength. This is simply a most amazing statement. That the believer's true strength is spiritual joy. The joy of the Lord will truly arm us to face whatever is out there. The Hebrew word there that's used for strength is really a term that means fortress or bulwark. What is the Christian's armor? What is the Christian's fortress? What is the Christian's bulwark? It's the joy we have in the Lord Jesus. It is the believer's joy in the Lord that protects us. We are to be joyful. We are to rejoice. We are to exult in God's grace that has overcome our sin and our brokenness and our darkness and our guilt and our shame and our condemnation. Are we not to be joyful when we think of these truths? That's our strength in the Lord Jesus. It's a joy in those things. I believe that Thomas Watson was correct that one of the hardest things in ministry is to help Christians to be joyful about their faith, to be joyful about their relationship to the Lord Jesus. I see many Christians who walk a life of discouragement, who walk a life of discontentment, who walk a life of despair. You see little growth in grace and truth, little joy in the Lord. Let me ask you, do you have the joy of the Lord in your life? Do you have the joy of the Lord in your life? Now, what is meant by joy? We could talk a lot about that. It's not being happy-clappy all the time. I really don't like people like that. It's not being happy-clappy all the time. And you look at me, you realize, there's a guy who's not happy-clappy all the time. That's true. It's not being giddy as we make our way through life. That's not what's being meant here. The Hebrew word here actually refers to a deep-seated, rich, in-depth belief in, trust in, and reliance upon the Lord Jesus. It is a deep-seated spiritual joy that we have. Note how this word is used in Exodus chapter 18. It's an interesting story, Exodus chapter 18. The Israelites have left Egypt. They have gone through the Red Sea, and now they're in the wilderness. And Moses' father-in-law comes to see him, who's a Midianite. He's not a Hebrew. He's not an Israelite. He's a Midianite. And listen to what happens. Then Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them in the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the good that the Lord had done to Israel, in that he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Jethro said, "Blessed be Yahweh, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians." A Midianite. The joy of the Lord in a Midianite. Blessed be Yahweh who has done these things. Jethro has a joy over the things of the Lord. Again, I ask you, do you have that type of joy in the Lord in your life? Well, where does that joy come from? You sit there and say, I'm just going to buck up and be joyful today. Is that how it works? I don't think so. Where does this joy come from? Well, listen to how this word is used in Psalm 21, verse 6. Listen to what it says. Psalm 21, verse 6, a fascinating verse, says this. And it's talking about God's relationship with the believing king. And it says, "For you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence." Oh God, you make the king glad with the joy of your presence. This is something that comes from the Lord. It is the Lord who bestows this type of joy on his people. Again, let me ask you, do you have the joy of the Lord in your life? It's something worth seeking. It's something worth praying for. It's something to struggle with God about. Oh Lord, give me the joy of Jesus in my life. Have you been surprised by joy? That's a great book by C.S. Lewis, who's becoming a Christian. Surprised by joy. Have you been surprised by joy? Now, in verse 11, we see the Levites, the ministers of the people of God at work. Look what happens. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved." Isn't that a great verse for a minister? How you deal with people. John Newton used to say that the task of the minister was to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Here we see the Levites soothing the people, quieting the people, calming the people, the verse says in the ESV. Again, this is not the right time for grieving. The weeping needs to stop. Put aside the misery and the discouragement. It's time for sweet rejoicing. The people pay attention to their ministers. We need sweet rejoicing in our lives. Sweet rejoicing in Christ. Watch the Hebrews celebrate in verse 12. And all the people went their way to eat drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing because they had understood the words that were declared to them. So the congregation, they go home, these tens of thousands in the square of Jerusalem, they go home and they have a great feast and they share their food and drink with others. But did you note something there? There was great rejoicing. But note why they are celebrating. It was not because the food was so great, although that's true. It was not because the drink was so great, although that is true. But look what the end of that verse says. It was because they understood the Word of God that had been read and taught to them. Isn't that the most amazing thing? When believers understand the Word, it ought to bring them joy. Prophet Jeremiah, in chapter 15, verse 16, said the following: "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart." That's what we're doing this morning. Thy words were found, and I ate them. And they brought forth joy to my heart. Indeed. Psalm 19, verse 8. "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." And finally, Psalm 119, verse 162. That's what the psalmist says here. "I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil." I rejoice in your word as one who finds the loot. Indeed. Note how people responded to Jesus when he taught them the word. It's the most amazing thing when you look at that. For example, in Matthew chapter 7, 28 and 29, it says, "When Jesus finished teaching, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. They were astonished and marveled." It brought out rejoicing for most of them as they heard that. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you were astounded or shocked with wonder when you heard the Word of God read and preached and interpreted? When was the last time that happened to you? Really, listening to Scripture being read or reading Scripture or hearing the Word preached should never become routine, should never become mundane, it should never be dull. They stood in that plaza for 5 to 6 hours paying attention to the Word of God that was read to them, and it caused them ultimately to rejoice and celebrate over what they had heard because God had delivered them. But Pastor, you know, I've got a really hard life. You're expecting me to be joyful? Yes. We should rejoice no matter our circumstances. Remember that the people of God in Nehemiah's day have been undergoing severe hardship. Terrible things have been happening to them. Yet they are called to rejoice because God is working among them. Because God has delivered them. Indeed. Charles Spurgeon once commented, Blessed is the fact that Christians can rejoice even in the deepest distress. Although trouble may surround them, they still sing. And like many birds, they sing best in their cages. Do you have the joy of the Lord? I will leave you with this word from the Apostle Paul. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Amen and amen. Please pray with me. Most Heavenly Father, what a great lesson we learn from this passage in Nehemiah. That no matter our circumstances, no matter our troubles, we should have joy in Christ, joy in Jesus for what He has done for us. That despite what we see around us, Christ has delivered us from our sin and our brokenness.